Blog Talk Radio.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Marvin, I'm very, very sorry. You know I don't like to upset you. Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Andrew Farrago, curator of the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco and author of The Looney Tunes Treasury. Stick around, Doc.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher's smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are nearly 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of squirrely rabbits in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
What's up, Doc?
Yeah, hey, Bugs. My brother Ira was a Popeye fan. Me, Looney Tunes, all the way. I lost hours of my youth watching Bugs, Daffy, Elmer, Porky, Tweety, the Roadrunner, Sylvester, and Marvin over and over again, the way my daughter once watched The Bear in the Big Blue House when she was that age. But please, don't tell her I told you that. Please. Anyway, I'm telling you this as a way of introducing my guest, Andrew Farrago. He's the author of a clever new coffee table book, The Looney Tunes Treasury. In it, each illustration-packed chapter is written by Andrew in the voice of a different Looney character, from Bugs and Daffy to Marvin and Tweety. As if that wasn't enough, the treasury is packed with unique collectibles, such as the Acme catalog. You know, that's where super genius Wile E. Coyote gets those great deals on anvils and great there are Daffy Duck stickers. Boy, I can barely even talk.
What a maroon! What an ignoramus!
All right, that's really not necessary. I met Andrew 5 years ago at his day job as the curator of the fabulous Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco. I was there as a guest speaker that day and had the opportunity to tour the museum's amazing exhibits and awesome gift shop. Next time you're in the Bay Area, in that Bay Area, don't miss it. Andrew Farrago, welcome to Mr. Media.
All right, happy to be here.
Good to have you. Hey, you know, Andrew, it's been 5 years, but I just don't remember you speaking in Brooklynese. How did you write in that voice?
Well, yeah, of course, I grew up on the mean streets of New York, and actually, you know, probably the same as you. I lived, ate, breathed, et cetera, the Looney Tunes cartoons growing up, and, you know, I'm a second-generation fan. My dad actually got to see these cartoons first run in the movie theaters as a kid, and you know he was always quoting Foghorn Leghorn and Bugs and Daffy around the house. So me, my brothers, my dad, we all watched these things as much as we could when I was a kid. And
that sounds like a fun house. I'm just wondering, would he quote these characters if you were good or if you were bad, or were there different characters for different situations?
Generally sort of a, you know, it was always a positive thing. Foghorn is one of his absolute favorites. So, anytime one of us did something, pinheaded, he managed to defuse it pretty handily with an appropriate quote. So I had a lot of this stuff just floating around in my brain, and do on a daily basis actually.
And what was the inspiration for telling the Looney Tunes stories as the characters?
Okay, I was initially approached to do this by a local publisher named Insight Editions, and they basically ended up packaging the book, and it was ultimately published by Running Press. And they approached me with it, and they said, you know, we want to do a Looney Tunes art book. We want it to be a history book as well, but we feel that that material's been covered pretty well. There've been books by Jerry Beck. There've been, you know, biographies, autobiographies, and it's been covered very well. But we want to do something that's going to be a little more fun, a little more accessible. We want it to reach younger audiences as well as longtime fans. So they suggested it as more of a creative writing project where I would be, doing the relating the autobiographies of the Looney Tunes characters themselves in their own voices. And before, but yeah, I know it's a radio show, and I can't actually do these in their own voices. So I suggest that's a writing thing, not a vocalization. I don't want to insult the ghost of Mel Blanc by making the attempt there.
Well, and it's funny, and I mean no disrespect at all, but it's funny that you wrote in that voice. But speaking to you, I mean you're very much the museum curator.
yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't mean any disrespect when I say that, but it is interesting. I didn't remember. I just couldn't picture the Andrew Farrago that I met 5 years ago doing voices. It just didn't seem like you. But I only met you, you know, in passing. Yeah. So I thought, well, he's going to come out and do Foghorn. Okay, I'm ready.
There's an on-off switch. So when I'm in professional mode, you know, that's when the suit comes off and or suit goes on actually. And you know, when it comes time to write Bugs Bunny, I pull out the carrot and sit down at the typewriter and have a giant mallet and you know, a stack of dynamite ready to go.
Probably watch some Gallagher and. I got to compliment you. When I started reading, I think Bugs is the first chapter. When I started reading, and I realized, and you realize pretty quickly that it's in the voice of these cartoon characters, I thought, oh my God, this is like, this is the kind of project where it's like, I think I'll remake some Beatles songs. It had to be a little daunting to sit down and try to put your own head in their heads or something like that.
Definitely. The story I have to tell about that is my editor, Kevin Toyama from Insight Editions. Our initial discussion about this was, it should be a really fun project, and you're going to get into the heads of these characters. You're going to tell their life stories in their own words. But if you get it wrong, it's probably going to stink. so he warned me, you know, if you did this with anything less than, you know, total respect for the characters, if you didn't get the voices, if you didn't understand them, you know, it could be a really, really awful book. He stressed that multiple times. No pressure at all, but you've got, you know, you've got these characters that are beloved worldwide, and that's part of what, part of what made me take on the project was I don't think things through before I say yes. So I'd agreed to do it before I realized quite how intimidating it was. And another thing was, these are characters I care about. These are characters that my family cares about. And I knew that I would approach them with the, you know, with the proper respect. I knew that I would hate reading a book where Bugs Bunny didn't sound like Bugs Bunny, where Yosemite Sam wasn't ornery enough, where Daffy wasn't Daffy enough. And so, love of the characters really made me sign on to this project.
And then how did you actually accomplish it? I mean, I know you had to watch a lot of cartoons for this, but did you do additional research? Did it all come from you know, just submerging yourself in the cartoons.
Okay, there is, and I've heard this from other animators, and they're happy about this, but there's a lot of history hidden in there. So it's I wanted this to not just be the characters goofing around. I did want them to talk about the history of the studios, to talk about some of the very talented artists and writers and performers who worked on these cartoons over the years. And so I think it holds up as a history book. And to that, I already mentioned Jerry Beck. So I read his work. There were people like Charles Solomon, Michael Barrier, Leonard Maltin, who've written wonderful books, excuse me, on the history of Warner Brothers. And yeah, as you mentioned, there was a lot of cartoon watching. So I pulled out the Golden Collection DVDs. There are anything missing from there seems to be floating around on YouTube. So I watched and, like I said, lived, breathed these characters. Wrote down any bit of dialogue that I think I could possibly incorporate into a character's history. I took a lot of, if you go through, pardon me, if you go through, you'll find a lot of Bugs Bunny's dialogue comes from cartoons like What's Up, Doc? And, Hair Grows in Brooklyn. And cartoons like that. So anything that directly referenced the character's past, I was taking notes on it. And anything I thought I could use, any line that sounds like that can probably relate to a character's time working with the studio, I would write that down. And so really, it sounds like I was trying to write as little as possible. I was trying to just take as much of the dialogue from people like Ted Pierce and Michael Maltese and incorporate it into the book. But that's a lot of what I did, and that I think is how I really captured the characters' voices, as I was copying. I was taking as much dialogue as I could from existing sources.
Well, and thinking about, the book, thinking, okay, if it were me, how would I do it? And I think that's exactly what I suspected. But I was also thinking, Who Killed Roger Rabbit? And I was thinking, this would make a great book for someone with a lot of ambition to adapt using the histories that you've told in these characters' voices and match them up with maybe some historic footage, that kind of thing, and make a great kind of a quasi documentary of Looney Tunes.
Yeah, that's it's very nice to hear. I'm not I'm a quick plane flight away from Hollywood. If there are any executives listening to this, I would love to be in the director's chair and have the giant megaphone and the beret and everything, and bark out orders to Tweety Bird and the Roadrunner.
I would think like Bugs and Daffy would be fairly easy because obviously they've been the star of more of these Looney Tunes than anyone else. But someone like Marvin the Martian, who has not been in that many, you did him too, though. Was there enough existing material? Did you have to kind of stretch your imagination a little bit?
Okay, characters like Marvin and Taz and Witch Hazel were in just a handful of cartoons during the classic era. And that was really my focus. I wasn't looking too much at more recent things. I hadn't even seen Looney Tunes back in action before I'd written the book. Space Jam I still haven't seen, actually. Confession time. So there were characters like that, but I think it's really a testament to the creators how well they were able to develop these characters over the course of just a few short cartoons. So Marvin, it was pretty easy to get into his head. I took every possible quote that I could incorporate into the text from his cartoons, and obviously that fell short a little bit, because it's not like Bugs Bunny where you have over 100, close to 200 to pick from. But, you know, Chuck Jones, Michael Maltese, these guys made really lasting characters. Michigan J. Frog was only in one cartoon, but that cartoon made such a huge impact on everybody. It was his, the WB Network's corporate spokesman or spokesfrog during that short-lived era of Warner Brothers history. And they managed to do that. They managed to take a character in less than 7 minutes and make it something that had a huge lasting impression on me, millions of viewers. George Lucas was obviously a big fan. Mel Brooks, if you've seen Spaceballs, was a huge fan of that cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really the power of these characters. So even if Marvin the Martian had only been in one or two cartoons, you know, he was only in about four or five of them, that probably still would have been enough for me to write a shorter chapter on him.
Hmm. Well, Andrew, let's take a quick break here. This is Bob Ampleman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with Cartoon Art Museum curator Andrew Farrago, author of The Looney Tunes Treasury. And we will be right back.
You're despicable.
Daffy, that wasn't really very nice.
Hi, this is Joe Murray, creator of Rocco's Modern Life and Camp Lazlo. You're listening to Mr. Media.
So that wasn't so tough.
No.
In this season of hope, you can do something extraordinary. Join your neighbors and the American Red Cross and help save the day. When the next disaster strikes, when a neighbor's house burns down, if someone needs life-saving blood or the comfort of a helping hand, hope. Support the American Red Cross and help save the day. Visit redcross.org.
This is a public disservice message from the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Don't waste your evenings doing volunteer work at your local mental hospital. Remember, even if you do, the crazy people there will probably think you didn't.
Words to live by. This is Bob Ampleman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with Cartoon Art Museum curator Andrew Farrago, author of The Looney Tunes Treasury. Andrew, let's tell folks a little bit about your day job at the museum. What do you do all day? I mean, watch cartoons? What, sounds like a great job.
that's the immediate reaction that most people hear. Anytime you have cartoon in your job title, I have to admit it is a fun job. There is a lot of work too. I'm basically. I maintain the museum's collection. I have to plan exhibitions out sometimes 2 or 3 years in advance. So there's a lot of contacting artists, people who collect comic art, movie studios, and there is grant writing, there is fundraising, there is, I'm the volunteer coordinator. I work on the scheduling the cartoon art classes that we do here at the museum. So it's a pretty busy day job. We're a nonprofit organization and have a very small staff. So we all work 40 plus hours every week, making the world safe for cartoons.
And where does one go to get a job like yours? Toon U?
I personally went to Colorado College. I grew up in Ohio. Went to proud graduate of Wellington High School, and went to Colorado College and studied fine art. And
so you're saying it's kind of a Mickey Mouse school?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'll stop now. I'm done. Yeah. Go ahead.
Mickey Mouse School is actually that'll probably be another project somewhere down the road. But I really I couldn't have anticipated that I would be doing this. I was always a cartoon and comic fan as a kid. But basically over the years, I just pieced together enough elements of my background that I was the right person for this job when it came along. My dad's a contractor, so I have building experience, which was useful in that's useful in maintaining the galleries and installing exhibitions. And I've got some gallery background from college and also working at the nearby Berkeley Art Museum. And it was a little bit of everything, basically, and encyclopedic knowledge of Bugs Bunny and Spider-Man and any number of other things.
And do you have some favorite items in the collection at the museum?
Oh, we've got a lot of great things. We've got about 20 original Peanut strips that were donated to us by Charles Schultz and his wife over the years. And we've got a Thimble Theater Sunday strip, and that's Popeye, for those of you who aren't familiar with the name Thimble Theater, by its creator E.C. Segar. And actually right now I'm believe it or not, gearing up for a Looney Tunes exhibition that's opening up at the end of this week.
Shocking.
So,
what a coincidence.
Yes. So we, in addition to our permanent collection,
sorry.
Suffering succotash.
We got one out of you. There you go.
Yeah. In addition to our permanent collection, I'm traveling the world all the time. I'm going to things like the meeting with members of the National Cartoonist Society. I'm going to comic conventions all the time and meeting with artists and collectors and finding out basically what's out there and available that will make interesting make for interesting exhibitions. And thanks to this book, I was actually able to make contact with Robert McKimson Jr., son of the famed Warner Brothers director Robert McKimson, and nephew of Charles and Charles and it's not Bob. I'll think of it in a minute here. Charles and I think Ted McKimson, and also the son of animator Sam Nicholson. So I've been able to make contact with these people and access their collections. And we've got a really fun exhibition coming up of animation artwork, concept artwork. We've got a lot of great background concepts by Maurice Noble. So that is going to be a really fun exhibition. And I'm always on the prowl for new stuff.
Okay, and you guys get a lot of have a lot of special events there. You have a lot of speakers, I guess, for people who don't know.
Yes, just last week we had Teddy Newton from Pixar. He directed the great short Day and Night that precedes Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave a talk and discussed his career in animation. We did a screening of Day and Night immediately before that. So we have fun people like that. We've had superhero comic book artists. We've had people who are more like yourself, more in the historical research aspect of it. We have had, and we'll have again, animators. And we have pretty much at least once a month, we have at least some event or opportunity for people to come in and meet people who create cartoons and comics or really know their stuff. Again, people like yourself pass through all the time, and we have as active a presentation schedule as we're able to manage.
Very good. Well, folks, listen, you can find Andrew Farrago's new book, the Looney Tunes Treasury. It's a lot of fun at great bookstores everywhere, where you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And next time you're in San Francisco, don't miss visiting the Cartoon Art Museum. Or you can visit its website right now. It's cartoonart.org, O-R-G. Andrew, can folks find you on Facebook or Twitter, any of those places?
Yes, there is a there's a Looney Tunes Treasury page on Facebook. The Cartoon Art Museum has a nice popular page on Facebook as well, and is on Twitter. I'm just Andrew Farrago on Twitter and on Facebook, so should be pretty easy to track down.
Very good. Well, Andrew, you were very kind to me 5 years ago. I hope maybe we do a little bit small return favor now, but thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Okay, well, thanks thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be anywhere.
All right, and you know this is coming. Porky had something to say to you.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for more original interviews with your favorite animators, cartoonists, comics creators, and comics historians, surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you give up a piece of your day and come spend it with us. Folks, thanks for listening.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
That just really wasn't very nice.